Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Cloud Church of Conscious Harmony. I'm grateful you're with us this morning in service and blessed by your presence wherever you may be. Thank you to Jill Frank for holding this role as guest minister last Sunday while I was away with my family in Wisconsin. Such a blessing to have so many beautiful beings in our community who can serve us. Just a couple announcements for our community. The first is that this week we begin two new class offerings that I'll be leading. On Wednesday, we'll do a book study on the real Christ, starting at 7:30, pretty much right after the 6:30 worship service. And you can just stay in that Zoom room from worship, and we'll continue on with the class on the real Christ. We'll be reading selections from Bernadette Roberts' masterpiece, The Real Christ, and I'll be commenting on the key ideas in each of those segments that we read together, and we'll have opportunity for conversation and dialogue about what she says in those chunks of reading that we will take. It's such a big book, this is a good way for us to kind of spoon feed through the book, and we'll see how far we get this semester. Also, Fridays at 12:30, every Friday at 12:30 on Zoom, we will start a class on the mystics and spiritual fathers and mothers of Christian tradition. It's a beautiful way to deepen on the way of your understanding of the spiritual journey and spiritual insights. And so join us for that 45-minute service on Fridays starting at 12:30 Central Daylight Time. You can go to the church website and click on the doors on our link pages to all these offerings. Also on Friday, September 11th, we have a guest teacher, Jim Riel, who will be leading a four-day centering prayer retreat on Zoom. And that is a beautiful experience for many of us, the vestibules of centering prayer, entering into centering prayer using the body and breath and other means. Jim is a gifted teacher, and this four-day centering prayer retreat will be on Zoom. It begins 6 o'clock on that Friday, September 11th, and concludes on Monday. And you can go to the church website to register for that and read more about the details. Also, we have two other retreats coming up on the 26th, and an introduction to centering prayer class is a part of that. So if you'd like to know more about what centering prayer is as a method or be refreshed about the method of centering prayer, you can register online for that class. I have two other significant announcements that I'm going to hold and share right before I share the message today, because I've noticed that we have more folks who log into Zoom midway through the service. So I want to hold off so that all of us are here and can hear these two special announcements. Again, this is all such a gift to be together in community, and we call down the energy from the heavens and ask the Spirit of God to unite our hearts in understanding and wisdom, and let us wish for this service to bless the world and to bless each of our lives and our families and our loved ones. Would you join with me in the silence, wishing for God's Spirit to minister to each of us? May it be so a thousandfold. Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come.
Spirit, come.
Please join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Join me in our invocation. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. And our verse for the month, if you will be my echo, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill. And to thy dwelling. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling. As we go up into our true selves, that's where we enter that dwelling. Well, I have 10 new certificates for Lucky Lightworkers. It went from 1 to 3 to 5 to 10. And we have our first children. Zen, our call-in guest. Yay for Zen for leading the way. And her dad, Peter, and her mom, Suzanne. Tennille Kapelka and Don Richard Hale and Lori Raymond and Melinda Reed, Tom Parker, Patricia Koch, Mary Leah McAnally, and you, I wonder. So the Lucky Lightworkers have been working with water, the water that is water everywhere. And if you listened to the story last week, Mateo's wow was that you really want to see what's in front of you, right in front of you, and find the joy and bless what's in front of you.
Tammy Sue, I haven't seen you in forever.
Oh, Red, I've missed you so much. What have you been up to?
I'm a lucky light worker.
A lucky what?
A lucky light worker.
Well, what does a lucky light worker do?
Oh, Tammy Sue, it's so much fun. You create a portal, and you enter it, and you get filled with light.
Filled with light in a portal? Now, I think you're going to have to tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, you create a portal in your imagination. It's an inner room that lives inside of you, and it's always there.
Huh. Can you tell me more? How do you start?
Oh, well, usually I start with the question.
Well, what question do you ask, if you don't mind my asking?
I ask, how can I help?
Oh, I like that question so dadgum much. You know, it's so much better than, are we there yet?
Yeah, so I say, how can I help? And then I go into my portal, and it's filled with light, and then I have my dashboard.
What in tarnation is a dashboard?
Well, it's a graphic user interface, technically, but really it's just a set of imaginary buttons that you create, and each button is connected to something that you want to bless with the light.
Oh, well, what do you bless with the light?
Well, we've been working with water, the water that is water everywhere. And I always walk by Granny's Creek, so I bless the creek every day, and I tell her how beautiful she is, and I tell her how beautiful her singing voice is. And then I bless the water in front of me, the water that I'm cooking noodles in, the water in my bathtub, the water I drink, the water in Granny's coffee, all that water. I bless it.
All right, so you have a dashboard in front of you, and what does that look like?
Oh, well, this week I made crystals for all the things I wanted buttons for. Beautiful crystals, different sizes, and each time I touched a crystal, I blasted out light to anything that I thought of that I wanted to bless.
Well, I sure wish I could do something like that. Do you think I could build a portal?
Sure. Do you have an imagination?
Well, sure I have an imagination. Everyone does, don't they?
Yeah, I think we all have the right equipment.
All right. Well, I'm going to try it. I'm going to be one of those lucky light workers, and I'm going to start with water. I love water being a tortoise, you know.
Well, you know, we all love water. That's something we all have in common. Everyone in the whole world loves water. I can't imagine anybody that doesn't love water, can you?
No, I think it's something we could all hold in common, a common aim.
Yeah, it's our common aim. Uh-oh, it looks like we're putting Pastor Peter to sleep. Maybe we should go.
All right, see you later.
Our first reading is adapted from Edna St. Vincent Millay's poem, M. Heart Being Hungry. My heart, being hungry, feeds on food, the fat of heart grown wise, beauty where beauty never stood, and sweet where no sweet lies. I gather to my garrulous need, having a growing heart to feed. It may be when my heart is dull, having attained its girth, I shall not find so beautiful the meager shapes of earth, nor linger in the rain to mark the smell of knowing through the dark. My heart, being hungry, feeds on food, the fat of heart grown wise, beauty where beauty never stood, and sweet where no sweet lies. I gather to my garrulous need, having a growing heart to feed. It may be when my heart is dull, having gained its girth, I shall not find so beautiful the meager shapes of earth, nor linger in the rain to mark the smell of knowing through the dark. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Morning, youngins. I was walking through the classrooms here this morning, singing, "This is Holy Ground," and look what I came upon. Remember this? This bag of sacred objects. Remember every Sunday after we light our Christ candle and do our centering prayer, we get the bag and reach in and pull out. Where is it? Well, it was supposed to be really easy to grab hold of here. A sacred moment. The talking heart. This is what each person holds, and when you've got this, you're the only person who can speak. And we do our up and our down for the week, and then we respond to the sacred question, to the check-in question, and then we reach into the bag and pull out a sacred object, and then we pass the bag to the next person. And after we say, "I'm in." Now, what makes the objects in this bag sacred? Well, what makes anything sacred? I think that's a good question. These objects all came from holy places. Holy places like Assisi, Teze, Lama, the Hanuman Temple, Belton. Holy places are places that are holy because that is their purpose. When we go to these places, they remind us of our highest purpose. They remind us that we are sacred lives. Right here, now. So look at your altar, if you can. If you can't, or if you don't have one, just look at this altar, this table. See the sacred objects. Feel them. It's holy. This is holy ground. I'm standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where God is, it's holy. Amen.
Our second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement, and that there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Wouldn't it be awesome if we could be in agreement and that there would be no divisions among us and that we would be united in the same mind and the same purpose, as St. Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that Marianne just read? Wouldn't it be great to be in agreement, to have no divisions, to be in the same mind with the people we live with and love, people we share a country with, share an earth with? Wouldn't it be awesome if there were no more wars or conflict? Well, the question becomes, how, St. Paul, how do we become more like that? And the answer from the tradition of the work and the wisdom of all the spiritual traditions is to cultivate the joy and practice of understanding. We're going to talk about the joy of understanding today as we conclude our series on the joys of life, and I trust it's been rich for you and a reminder of the gift of joy and how it can feed our hearts and expand our hearts in our lives, even when our external circumstances may not be evidence for joy in our lives. Before I go further with the message this morning, I have two special announcements I'm very happy to share with you. The first is we are changing the means by which we'll be broadcasting our Sunday worship service and our Wednesday evening worship service. We're going to migrate from Zoom to Vimeo, and we'll begin next Sunday. In the email for this Friday, you'll receive instructions on how to make that change. It will be very simple and straightforward for you. Or you could go to the church website and click on the link, which will directly take you to the Vimeo platform we'll be using. If someone does log on next week, Sunday, for the Zoom service, we'll have a message on Zoom that will direct them to the new video Vimeo platform. And it should be fairly straightforward, but the experience, we're told, should be much better and clearer. So if you have questions, you can call the church office, but it should be straightforward. Click on a new link. This is important because sometimes our browsers memorize a link, so if you've just gone and memorized the link for this service, you'll need to make sure that you click on the Vimeo link that we provide in the email or on the website. The second special announcement, the board of directors met yesterday. And by the way, what an incredible group of people that hold center for this community. I love each of them, and as we were on the Zoom meeting yesterday, I was in awe of the depth of being and knowledge and understanding in that community. And I don't think there's been a conflict on that board in years and years, the kind of conflict that marks so many boards. There's been disagreement, but not conflict. These people are beings of great insight, wisdom, love, patience, and who have applied the work ideas. And I can just tell you that I feel like I'm the luckiest guy in the world to work and serve alongside them. But anyway, after a long process of the last several months, we've been discerning, we've developed a plan for our partial reopening. And guess what? We are going to partially reopen on Wednesday evening for our Wednesday evening service this Wednesday and next Sunday morning. So starting this Wednesday and next Sunday, come on back partially. The problem is there's some constrictions to reopening that need to occur so that we can externally consider everyone. So in stage three, the board has decided that we're going to have up to 50 people coming to service in the sanctuary. And that's legal and allowed. It's also very safe, according to social standards and what we've been told. And you'll receive an email this week about how to register to come to the Wednesday service or the Sunday morning service. You can also go to the happenings page starting noon on Monday tomorrow to register for the Wednesday evening service. And then on Thursday, we'll have the site available to register for next week's Sunday service. So please bear with us as we make these changes and adjustments. We've never been through this before. There's going to be accommodation and patience for everyone that will require some other things like wearing masks in the sanctuary and sitting in distant seats from each other. And also families can come together. You can sit close side by side with one another as a family. You could bring your kids if you wanted. You could bring your youth. The youth are free to gather with Don and David on Sunday mornings. The children will continue to meet here in the sanctuary or on Zoom, and Deborah will continue to give her teaching in the service. But it's a start. It's something, and I'm really, really excited to see more of us in the community. It's true, we need one another, and part of mental health and spiritual well-being is the life of community, of being together. And for some people, that is church. Church for them isn't the message, isn't communion. It's the fellowship that they experience. So let's get back to being who we are. And I look forward to seeing you. And I know you won't all be able to come on a Sunday morning, but throughout the month and as the weeks unfold, you will be able to get a spot and register. And there's going to be no bouncer at the door. So you know how this goes. We've got to do our due diligence, but hey, grace abounds. And let's care for one another and be safe as we're coming and going. So look for the emails, call the church for questions, look on the website, the happenings page, and we'll try and do our best to update you as best possible. Okay, let's continue talking about the joy of understanding. I want to highlight four things and try and build the message around these four things. And that is a place of understanding, a person of understanding, a practice of understanding, and a state of understanding. And hopefully we can weave through those things some insightful ideas that will help us all grow in understanding. This past week, I was at a state park called Point Beach State Park, where my mother grew up going camping there, and her family grew up camping there on the shore of Lake Michigan, and I grew up camping there. And it's a sacred place, and our family was gathering really for the first time there in years, I think 7 years since we had camped there together. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience, and I was expecting to have a joyful reunion with my sister, Hansi, and her three children, and her husband, and my stepfather, and my mom, my brother would be there. I wasn't certain if my sister, Brecken, who's 31 years younger than I am, was going to be there. She's the daughter of my stepfather and mother. And her two daughters, 12 and 8, were going to be there. But she also has two sons. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But this place, Point Beach State Park, is a place where I have gone as a little infant, as a little boy, as a young man, at this time of year. And there's a particular place there where I have gone and sat and prayed. And it was a beautiful thing for me over the years to have that place to go back to year after year, and to, as it were, accumulate in my time body memories of my life choices, and to use my imagination to think about the future and to remember the past. It became a touch point in my life, this place that never changed, that was always the same, enduring almost. The rocks stand firm on the shore of Lake Michigan there, and the lake is eternal as in its view. And perhaps you have a place like that that you go to year after year that stands the test of time and holds you as you grow and becomes kind of like a beacon visioning place of seeing your life and looking at your life and evaluating your life and discerning what the Spirit's doing and how something is stirring in you for what you wish to be and do and become. And this week, as I stood there day after day in the morning sunrise and under the twilight stars, I began to have a deep sweetness of joy as I saw my life from a perspective of nearly 50 years. And really, for the first time in all those years, I wasn't wanting one thing. I wasn't planning for something that I needed to do. I wasn't getting ready to start a program or a college or something new. I wasn't trying to figure out a major decision. I realized that so much goodness has come into my life. And in a certain sense, I'm at peace with myself. I've become me. The me that I always wanted to be, I've become me, and I love me. And I know that sounds strange, coming from a community that practices the gift of no self and the process of no self. But the truth is, until we love ourselves, we really can't be much good of love for anyone. And this place is a place of great understanding for me, of helping me understand my life and making sense of my life, all the twists and turns. And I kneel and buckle under the beauty of those stars in front of the waves, and I just say, everything belongs, everything belongs. It's such a beautiful, beautiful place to go and be touched with that joy of understanding. While I'd love to change things in my life, everything beautifully belongs. Perhaps you have a place like that that brings you in touch with a deeper understanding. It's not always the case. Sometimes there's a lot of misunderstanding, and it takes time for that understanding to arise and bring the gift of joy that comes. We all need a place of understanding. Then there's the practice of understanding that cultivates that gift of understanding in our lives. And I think this is a good place to read a little bit from the commentaries about what understanding is. Because if we're going to be in a practice of understanding, we'd want to know what it is. But understanding as a fruit brings about what this beautiful poem by Edna St. Vincent Millay says, is that we see beauty where beauty never stood. Now we see sweetness where there was no sweet. That's understanding. The fruit of understanding is to see beauty where you once saw ugliness, to see sweetness, to feel it, to sense it when there was no sweetness in someone you disagreed with. Understanding brings about something that wasn't there when you were in misunderstanding or disagreement or disunion. It's such a powerful gift. This is from page 93 in the commentary. It's not a long reading, so just listen deeply with your heart. Take this in. This sets it in context, what understanding is, and I think you'll hear how very important the concept of understanding is and why it really brings us joy. We work on the side of knowledge and on the side of being. On the side of one's being, efforts on the side of knowledge are different from the efforts on the side of being. It is quite easy to find this out for oneself. For example, you can read this commentary and learn something. You can gain knowledge about something, an idea or a practice or a principle, but that doesn't mean that you can apply it to your life. When you do apply it to your life, that's work on the side of being, because it changes you. You don't just know it, you are it. And this development, this gift of development of working on the side of being, moves in two directions, on the side of knowledge and on the side of being. Only these must go hand in hand. Here we go. The result of knowledge and being, or growth in knowledge of being, is understanding. As was said earlier, this work must be based on understanding. Listen to that. If you're wondering what the work is based on, this work must be based on understanding, not knowledge, not being, but the sum of knowledge plus being, which is understanding. This work is based on understanding. One cannot adapt to it as one does to life. Understanding, listen to this, understanding is the most powerful force we can create in ourselves. Wow. What is your practice of cultivating understanding? The most powerful thing we can create in ourselves. That's something to ponder. I normally would think love would be the most powerful thing to cultivate in ourselves. Wouldn't you? That'd be my go-to answer. But if you think about it, what lies underneath love? What is the ground of love? Could it be understanding? And that without understanding, love is really cheap and shallow. Nothing better can be sought, for in the long run, understanding is what brings us joy. And in the work, a person is defined as their understanding. That's interesting, that we're defined or we're described or we're known by our level or capacity of understanding. A person is their understanding. If you apply this knowledge, your knowledge will begin to turn into understanding through a union between the will of your being and the knowledge of your mind. As you know, understanding is defined clearly in this system of teaching. Understanding is the arithmetical mean, arithmetical, that's a hard word to say, the mathematical mean between your knowledge and your being. Understanding is the mathematical mean between your knowledge and your being. So there's a clue in terms of how to practice and to grow in the practice of understanding. You start first by growing in knowledge and acquiring new ideas. The old ideas that aren't workable, throw them out. Acquire new ideas. And those ideas, when applied and practiced in your life, in my life, create a different quality of being, a different sweetness, a different beauty to the being, a different hunger that expands the heart, as the poem says, a different kind of knowledge that isn't based on facts and figures so much as the intuition of the spirit and the gift of wisdom, and that empathy and intuition that is so beautiful in its relationship to knowledge and being and understanding. It's also important to remember that knowledge isn't information and understanding isn't information. Understanding is very different than information. In fact, complete understanding is different than a complete education. You can be very well educated and have very little understanding or wisdom. You can have great knowledge and very immature, mean, cruel, empty being. So knowledge plus being equals understanding, and it really is a source of joy when we practice it. There's always more understanding to behold and gain. In fact, when someone says that complete understanding is possible, that's a misunderstanding. Complete understanding is a misunderstanding because understanding is ever unfolding and evolving because you are always evolving. In other words, the depth of our being and the growth of our being is endless. Who can say when you're done growing your being? Certainly death becomes this beautiful transition process of revealing being and dropping knowledge and entering into non-being or being beyond being, which is beyond comprehension to the mind. This is why the great tradition of the contemplative universe draws heavily on teachers who teach us that knowledge that we're after is a different kind of knowledge. It's the knowledge of unknowing. It's the light that is darkness. This is how the philosopher Plotinus put it. He says this: Our way that draws us deeper than takes us beyond knowing and knowledge. There may be no wandering from unity when we go to this place. No wandering from unity when we go to this place, this way of knowing beyond knowing. There's a clue right there that harmony is beyond division by way of this kind of knowledge. Knowing and knowledge must all be left aside, he writes. Every object of knowledge, even the highest objects of knowledge, like doctrines or teachings, even the highest objects of knowledge, we must ultimately pass by. For all that is good is derived from the greater source that is unknowable on this side of the grave, as sunlight is derived from the sun. It's a beautiful invitation to practice letting go of what you think you know and control of your life and enter into that darkness of unknowing and the practice of letting go. And in essence, that's the method of all meditative practices. That's what we do when we consent to the silence and the darkness as we close our eyes. We're literally saying, I don't need to know anything. I let go of my need to know and be certain. I let go and consent to being known versus my addiction to knowing everything. That's called living by faith. This is how Pseudo-Dionysius, a beautiful mystic of the 5th and 6th century, who is so influential in the tradition of contemplative Christianity and mystics around the world, Pseudo-Dionysius writes this. He says, the purified soul becomes the blinded intellect. You can say the purified emotional center becomes the blinded intellect. The purified soul becomes the blinded intellect. So something about the way we think, the how we know, becomes blind. And when we're blind in that knowing, we become more free and joyful. The purified soul is free to be blind in the intellect. And it throws itself relentlessly and unknowingly into the ray of divine darkness in search of unity with God. It's so beautiful that purification leads to a willingness to relentlessly throw one's whole being into the divine darkness. It's just terrifying for many of us, which is why the silence is so terrifying. But that practice of silence enriches us and teaches us how to grow in understanding by way of knowledge and being and a different kind of knowledge that is unknowing. The poet Rilke reminds me all the time in different ways what I need to know about myself. Poets have a way of teaching without teaching. They know more than they know. And we can feel that in their words because they speak at the unconscious level. And this is how the poet Rilke describes it. He says, I only know that from his warmth, and he's talking about God, I only know from God's warmth that I'm growing. I only know from that impression, that intimation, that subtle warming of the heart of God's presence, that mystery, capital M mystery, that I'm growing. That warmth is the indication so often that we're growing in the darkness. And he says, my roots lie hidden in the deep. My branches are only swayed by the wind. My roots remain steadfast in the dark. And this is a practice for all of us to consent into that darkness of meditation, to grow in a kind of knowledge and wisdom that is not intellectual at all, but that leads to profound levels of understanding. I find that to be extraordinarily joyful, that is possible for all of us. And the practice of understanding as we start to implement it, I think understanding as it grows in our lives, that it ultimately brings about a series of states or experiences that are of a very desirable quality. So see if this resonates for you, that understanding leads to empathy. And empathy leads to compassion toward others. And compassion towards others can turn into the flame of love. And that flame of love then can burn in a service, a selfless service. And that selfless service then burns something out in us that leads to a place of silence and stillness in us. And this, I think, is the gift that understanding brings us, that empathy leads to compassion, leads to love, leads to service, leads to silence and stillness. And so when you see these ordinary saints out in the world, the nurses and the doctors and the mothers and the fathers, who have burned through their self because they have entered into understanding and empathy and love and service, that they oftentimes, one of the qualities about them is that they seem undisturbable. They seem undisturbable. And they, you could poke them and prod them, and they seem to be so still on the inside and so capable of loving. And that love comes from the fruit of understanding. People like this, the persons of understanding in our lives, are safe people. They're healing presences. And we all need a person of understanding that we can go to with our misunderstandings and our not understanding and our lack of understanding and our confusion and our fears and our frustrations. We need people we can go to who are people of understanding, who have being that is beyond our being, because not because they're better, but because they have done their work and they have rested in that. And they might have a different being or quality being in one area that is more mature than you, but in another area, perhaps your being is more mature. So we all need each other, and the parts form the whole. But to have a person of understanding you can go to is one of God's great gifts on this planet. I think of the spiritual fathers and the spiritual mothers and the mentors and the teachers, the writers and the books of wisdom. All these are people that we can go to, dead or alive, who are people of understanding for us. Don't think you have all the understanding. Go to those that have more understanding. Drink from their well and grow your roots deeply. I was with my family at Lake Michigan, and I did not expect that my sister Brecken would be there. That invitation came later, and I wasn't aware of it until I arrived in Wisconsin. And part of me was frustrated that that invitation had been given to Brecken, because I know that Brecken, at 31 years old, is in recovery, and just a few years ago her life seemed to be on the edge of existence due to drugs and homelessness, losing her two daughters. She miraculously was brought out of that state of despair and was lifted out of drugs and alcohol abuse, whatever was going on, that totally destroyed her life, took her two daughters away from her. And one of the people that was in her life at that time that helped her or protected her was a man named, I'll name him Derek. And Derek is my age, so 17, 18 years older than Brecken. And Derek is an African-American man who has spent a lot of his adult life in prison and also was in that drug world in some way, but somehow was a person of understanding. His level of being was there for my sister, and in some way, somehow, miraculously, he kind of rescued her or protected her. I'm not exactly clear on everything that happened, but he became the father of her two-year-old son, who's now two. And last year, he became the father of her now one-year-old son. And I can tell you that in my brother's heart, the last thing I wanted for my sister was for her to have a two-year-old and a one-year-old at this point in her life. I don't know of a harder life than the life she lives, and I don't know how she does it. But you know, years ago, well, let's just say even a year ago, when I was visiting, there was a part of me that was not emotionally pure, that what needed to be purified. There was a big part of me that had zero understanding toward my sister and these two little boys that are beautiful beings. But I felt the racism in my heart. I didn't want this mixed. Yeah, I felt that deeply. And I felt the resentment. And I closed my heart and said, intellectually, I said, I'm not going to love these little boys. Well, one moment with these little boys, looking into their eyes, changed my heart and softened me. But I was quite judgmental to my sister and aggravated because of all the impact it had on the family and the system and how it burdened my mother and stepfather and the difficulty of the situation. I had zero understanding. I had judgment. And though we didn't have conflict, I really noticed that my generosity of spirit closed toward my sister, and I resented her, and I didn't forgive her, and I held an account against her. Like, why are you doing this to your life? Why are you doing this to our family? Well, this year, something has changed in me. And I would like to do my work report and share that when I was there, there was stillness in me. And though I was upset for a second that they were coming, what I noticed was as the boys were screaming, literally waking up at 6 a.m. and everyone in the campground, you know, can hear these screams, screaming at night. They love their mother so much, but they're screamers. And when I saw Derek and Brecken, inside I had love and compassion for them, and I said to them, "You're saints. You're saints." And that's all I could really say is, "You guys are saints. I don't know how you're doing this. I couldn't do it. I have no understanding or comprehension how you're not going crazy." And of course, they adapt. They sit in the car, they turn the air conditioning on, they move the kids, they take walks, whatever. You parents, you know what I'm talking about, and I'm sure you've all felt that edge of your being where you just have zero understanding for why this kid's screaming, why this kid's doing this or that, why this grandchild is choosing this or that. Zero understanding. But we can love completely without complete understanding. Well, one other thing I'd like to share, because it's so beautiful to think about the state of understanding that all of us are called into. And Derek, this hulk of a dude, my age, and spent a lot of time in jail, a life that has been so hard, son who died, overdosed. And what he has lived and what I have lived have been so, so dramatically different. And I didn't really want to know Derek, truthfully. I didn't want him to be there. I never wanted to meet him, truthfully. But there he was. On my one vacation with my family at Point Beach, my sacred time. And there I'm having to do my big work. And we sitting around the campfire one morning, first morning he was there. And I decided I'm going to try and connect with him. And I asked him a question about something, and it opened him up. He started talking about spirituality. And for him, it's really very important. His spiritual life is his sanity. And it's a pretty potent kind of spiritual life, you know, claiming the power of the name of Jesus Christ over the passions and the powers and the demons of addiction. It's life or death for him, his spiritual life. And though we are worlds apart and experience no way really of understanding each other in terms of rationality or likes or dislikes or patterns or experiences of life, but as he was talking about his spiritual life and how God is so important to him, I looked into his eyes and I realized that we are one. We're the same. Totally different on the outside, but there in that oneness was understanding. And I'm here to tell you that for that moment, I was in the state of love and oneness with this man. And it passed. But I'll never be the same. And I'm so grateful that I have taken Derek into my heart and am trying to love him more consistently. Understanding brings empathy that leads to compassion that leads to love and leads to silence and stillness of the personality that you can just be with someone you'd like to strangle. So go to those places of understanding, seek the practices of understanding. Go to the people who have understanding that you wish for and aspire and make effort to reach that state of understanding that passes all understanding, the peace that passes all understanding, and the joy that comes from understanding deeper than what we know. Let's take a moment in the silence and connect our hearts to what the Spirit is doing in you right now, with the recognition that there's so much occurring beyond what is said. Holy Spirit of God, we kneel to the earth to touch the sky. And we unknow to know, and we let go to understand. So beautiful. Thank you for your journeying with us and blessing us with unexpected graces that change our lives forever. We hold on to that truth, knowing that you hold on to us, now and always. Amen. Let's celebrate the gift of this church, and we give to the church that feeds us spiritually, and our roots are growing deep underground in the dark, and we give to the church that feeds us that we might feed others. And let's remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. We give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are simply to remember and to understand. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us now rest in the silence of centering prayer for 10 minutes as a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
Just as a reminder, this week we start two new classes. Wednesday evening book study on Bernadette Roberts' Real Christ, and 12:30 study on the Christian mystics. And also, please remember, we'll be shifting to the Vimeo live stream platform. So go to the church website or look at the church email on Friday to click through to that. And also, registration for Wednesday evening service will open tomorrow online at noon. And registration for Sunday's service, that's next Sunday, Labor Day weekend Sunday, begins on Thursday at noon. And I encourage you to go to the church website to keep up to date on all the changes. It's been a blessing to be together in the cloud of the Church of Conscious Harmony, more connected than ever, truthfully, hearts open to the presence. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit is with each of us, increasing our understanding. Moment by moment.